Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. This is a little taste test of a bonus episode that you can get at the Filthy Casuals Patreon right now. It is an extra episode of our show called Nintendo 69. We're dropping it into the free feed. For any of you that aren't on the Patreon yet, thought you might like to have a little taste test.
Yeah. Ooh, yum, yum, yum. This tastes delicious. I didn't think Nintendo 69 would taste palatable. But turns out I love the delicious taste of cum. Yeah.
And you can hear more riffs like that on this upcoming episode where we also talk about pop culture, movies, TV shows, other stuff. It's not restricted by the topic of video games.
Filthy Casuals for everything that's not video games. Mm.
Yeah. So enjoy this taste test, and you actually, the idea is that you will like this enough to then go and subscribe to the Patreon. Mm. You can't treat this like an ice cream store where you just stand in here. We're not going to be doing this every week, okay? You're not going to get another taste test in a week's time.
Mm. You get three different ice creams, and that's pushing it at an ice cream shop, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah.
Three licks and then you're done. Same as a 69.
Three licks. You think they're just giving you the tub and going, just eat out of this until you've made the
choice. You punch through the glass and you jam your head in, and bleeding, you get into the boysenberry so that they can't tell which is your blood and which is the boysenberry.
Yes.
That's my technique.
Yeah.
And you come out and you're like, I'm going to sue you. The glass was sharp.
I'm Choc Mint. What are you?
Oh, yuck.
Cookies and cream.
Dolce de leche.
Okay.
I'm a big fucking caramel.
Yeah.
Right. So I hope you enjoy this. Patreon.com/
Filthy Casuals Pod.
For more.
Bye.
Well, talk to you in a second.
Bye
from.
Don't stop listening.
If you've just bought your first personal computer, this show is for you.
Tonight, the information superhighway.
Nintendo has introduced some hot new toys.
An online network called Internet.
Therapy sessions for families whom you could call Nintendependent.
They like the gore. They like bloody games where people's heads explode. And I think it's attractive to them.
Linear, repetitive, really violent. There's not a lot going on mentally.
You pick a couple characters, do maneuvers on the joysticks and buttons.
And Merry Christmas. No kidding, that's the woman's name. And we'll talk to her tonight.
Here we go.
Here we go. Did Mario actually say that at any point? We're not allowed to discuss it on this one.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This is the
bottle
bonus.
That for Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I put it with all the other stuff I've bottled up over the years.
Here's an exclusive for anyone who's listened to the regular pod from last week. I am out of quarantine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
You're sitting here in my house.
Yep, that's it.
Coughing away.
Yeah. I did it twice, actually. I picked up my girlfriend from the airport because she got back a few days after me and then did a second overnight stint with her. Yeah, it's the kind of great guy I am.
Damn.
I'll tell you what's good, though.
What a honey.
If you come back from an orange zone, speaking of honey,
yeah,
they don't get much more of an orange zone than that. Big bottle of honey.
I guess
kind
it's
kind of
orange.
An orange colour.
Yeah, so an amber, like sort of.
Like a gold, golden yellow.
Golden, yeah.
Golden.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to draw honey and you had just like a packet of classic textures.
Yellow.
I'm
sorry.
If I had to take it down to a primary colour, it's 100% yellow.
Then it looks like a jar of piss. It's got to be
doesn't.
Orange.
It looks
it's
like
got to be orange.
Honey. Honey is yellow. Yeah. Cartoon honey is yellow.
I've got some sitting right here.
But think about Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. What's he scooping out of there? What color's that?
It's more orange than yellow.
I'm Googling Winnie the Pooh.
It's golden, but I'm using a yellow texter and I'm writing honey on the bottle.
Oh, well, there you go.
N-N-Y.
That's doing most of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, but if it's orange, I reckon people are like, that honey's been sitting in the sun for a long time.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
Maybe it's like organic, like Manuka honey or whatever, you know.
Like that big, that you're thinking of.
I got Manuka honey over there from when I was having a bit of a throat thing.
Oh. Yeah. And what was his look name?
Look how fucking yellow that honey it's coming out of that pot is.
Yeah.
And that looks like fucking honey, dude.
All right. Well, anyway, my point being, when you come back from an orange zone, you get daily text messages.
Like something that's orange. What's like an orange food?
I don't know.
Honey?
You get daily text messages from the Vic Department of Health reminding you to go and get a test now that you are back and to isolate until you get the results. But every day you get this text and it starts with, all in capitals, urgent message from DHHS Vic, which fuck me dead if that isn't a real heart starter every day. Oh, nightmare.
That's a good wake up though.
Mm.
Good wake up message to be like, ah, you got COVID. Nah, just kidding.
It's like when you get your ticket summary during the comedy festival at like 5 a.m. every day for some reason. Like, oh.
Now,
that's orange.
That's real honey.
That's orange.
It does look orange on the phone.
Yeah.
On the phone.
But I've got my colour settings all different.
It's a day setting. Yeah.
I've warmed my temperature on the.
Yeah, plus 6800 or whatever the fuck the warm temperature is.
The lumens off the scale. Lumens is just brightness. Mm. I don't know what a measure of. Kelvins? Is that a measure of colour temperature?
Of warmth and coolness? I don't know.
Neither do I. Kelvin and Hobbes.
Great comic strip.
Kelvin Harris.
Great producer.
Yep. Kelvin Klein.
Kelvin!
We forgot Kelvin! He's home. And he's sitting there all bright. Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Honey is orange or yellow. Yeah. Somewhere in between.
Yeah. Amber is the perfect combination, right? Yeah. It's a semi-transparent orangey-yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that there's not
we did it.
Many Kelvins or Lumines in is the film Academy Award winning film. Nomadland.
Nomadland.
That's where you weren't allowed to go in World War One. Nomadland.
Yes.
That's right,
If you had a cold in the trenches, you're like, don't go into Nomadland.
That bit in Wonder Woman movie where she goes into Nomadland rips the shit out of them.
I'm assuming that happened.
Yeah.
That first one's in World War One, hey. When's the second one set? you watch Nomadland.
Nomadland last night.
Oh.
I don't think I've seen any of the Academy Award nominated films of this year. Because they just happened last week.
Yeah, I was going to suggest maybe we... But I watched the whole thing. I was just sitting at home doing jack fucking squat.
Hell yeah, dude.
And
that's the way I like the low and lazy, brother.
That's it.
How's it hanging?
Bitch.
Slyly to the left.
Oh, this is all the winners. But yeah, Nomadland, Minari, I didn't see yet. I want to see that. Oh, Judas and the Black Messiah I saw. Did you see that?
No.
Fucking very good.
Those are the two. Nomadland and Judas and the Black Messiah were the two that stood out to me as like, oh, I want to see those.
Mm. Mank.
Oh, yeah. Mank. You guys talked about Mank.
Yeah. 3 stars, you know, not particularly. Another Round I didn't see. That's the Mads Mikkelsen one where it's a bunch of like middle-aged guys drink every day and like live their life slightly buzzed.
Okay.
Is it how did I not know about this film?
Is it Leaving Las Vegas type of sad drinking?
No,
or like...
no. It's sort of, and I think it's like a Danish. Yeah, it's Danish. It's sort of like a black comedy, I think.
Okay.
Apparently it's very good.
A yellow comedy.
Wow. It's more of an orange in my opinion.
Yeah, kind of an orange comedy.
I can't win.
Like an
having an off day.
Sound of Metal, which we talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I still haven't, no.
Fantastic really, film. Really
a lot of these movies I didn't see because you talked about them. I was like, that doesn't sound up my alley that much.
Right. But Sound of Metal is intense, but really good.
That was the thing that put me off of Sound of Metal is that I haven't watched like an intense movie for quite a while at this point. I don't know if
you've been comfort food for like a year and a half.
Less, because I was doing the not comfort food at the start of shit. So last year.
Mm-hmm.
So
what was the most non-comfort food thing that you watched as COVID was kicking off, as the world was burning?
Oh, good question.
Mm.
What was the most, did you have a thing that you watched where you got to the end and like deeply, deeply regretted putting it on?
I've blocked out so much that I'm not sure. You could probably go back and listen to episodes
of
this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And be able to tell. But like,
which doing those is the thing that I've blocked out.
Well, because for my other podcast, Do Spooky, we watch horror movies often for that.
Right, right.
Those, you know, are intense.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't, you know. Also, Yeah, nah, I haven't really watched an intense, but also a lot of the Oscars movies, it's hard to go to the cinema and see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just even consumption of movies is different at the moment.
Mm. Well, you can watch Nomadland on Disney Stars right now.
Yeah, it's so good. So Disney Plus in Australia, I don't know if they have this in other countries. I believe it's an Australia thing.
It seemed to me like it may have been, because it sort of seems like how I read it was, they think that a lot of people have the assumption that Disney Plus is just all stuff for babies.
Right.
So they've launched this like second arm of it that is just included. They really have to like hammer home the point. This is included as part of this. It's not a new service.
Yeah.
It's just like its own separate banner on the main page that's like quote unquote adult movies. Mm. I think a lot of
because Disney which owns already, Fox now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of them already kind of lived in Disney Plus anyway, but they just I think they
oh,
they,
right.
they it felt to me like them doing a bit extra of a marketing push, like, hey, this isn't just all the Disney cartoon movies. Like, yeah, we're Fox now as well, so we've got all this other stuff.
And it's very funny logging into Disney Plus, and you still have that association, obviously, with the word Disney, and then opening Disney Plus and seeing like Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo yeah. there. You're like, oh, Deuce Bigalow is my favorite Disney princess.
Yeah.
And so
and also like Disney Plus Stars is just, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst name for it. Maybe it's because in this country we had one of our cable providers that was exclusively in motels for a long time.
Yeah.
It was called OzStar.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sounds really low rent. Like it just makes it sound like this really cheap little tacky add-on.
There was a Stars network in the US.
In the States,
Party Down was on Stars, which is the only thing that I know.
I think it's just Star.
Yeah, yeah, I think, yeah.
Okay. And it reminded me of OzStar as well, which, yes, was always an off-brand Foxtel.
Yeah.
So it always felt like you were, you know, when you go to Tasmania and when it was called Safeway, it used to be called like Van Grobens or something in Tasmania.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like some weird name.
Tasmania used to be called Safeway? Is that what you're trying to say?
John Safeway.
You get on the ferry, you go down to Tucker Bag.
I'm going to look up Tasmania Safeway.
Yeah.
It had some weird fucking name. Woolworths Argyle Street. No. They're all Rolf Voss.
What?
Yeah.
It used to be called Rolf Voss. R-O-E-L-F-V-O-S.
Oh.
As a second word. Rolf Voss was,
I'm obsessed with like chains that only exist in one part of the country. And especially when it's a part of the country where people try and convince you like, everyone thinks we're big weirdos over here in Perth, but we're all pretty normal. Anyway, time to go for lunch at Chicken Treat, our takeaway restaurant that only exists in Western Australia.
Yes.
Chicken Treat. It's like,
do you want chicken as a meal? Too bad. Go somewhere else. This is exclusively treat-based chicken preparation. You can only have it as a little something naughty. Chickens are all bad.
Can I get 5 bits of chicken? Only if you're sharing that with 5 other people. Because if that's all for you, that's not allowed.
That's a meal.
We will be locking you up.
That's not a treat. Don't be greedy.
We're only one sideways step away from potato cake, potato scallop here.
Oh, man. It's, what are they there?
What?
What do they call them there?
In Tasmania?
Rolf Voss.
Rolf Voss. Oh, you know what else is different? Milk bar means a different thing in different states.
What does it mean somewhere else?
In other states, it literally meant like malt shop in Australia.
Oh, like a milkshake shop.
Yeah.
Like, okay. That makes more sense.
Totally. I mean, in here, I feel like milk bar and general store were interchangeable, which is, general store is such an old-fashioned term when you think about it. It's like you're riding up on a horse and buggy to go to the general store.
100%. Or you're in the military and you're very high ranking and you shop exclusively.
But it's also like the general store, it's basically food stuff, but by that name, it should have basically literally everything in it, right?
Also, the word food stuff is fucking insane.
Yeah,
it's food and, you know, assorted food stuff. Anyway, why were we talking about that?
Nomadland. I watched it last night. So you have Disney Plus. You can easily access it.
Yeah, didn't realize it was on there.
Not really ready to watch intense movies yet, so
I would like to watch this one. The other intense movie thing is that I've been with someone now, a partner, for like the last 7 months now. So
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But when you're going to watch like a prestige film, that tends to be the couple movie to watch.
Do you
know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, because I watched another movie. I'll write it down.
Okay.
Anyway, it's not intense. It's just very, very sad. It's it's Frances McDormand is the I was about to say the titular character. Not the case at all.
Oh, she's the Nomad.
She's called Mrs. Nomadland.
Yeah.
She plays a woman called Fern who is living in this like very was living in this town that had the whole industry kind of stripped out of it, and her husband has passed away. She's basically homeless, living in a van. She kind of meets up with these people who do this kind of nomad thing, but they sort of do it on purpose. These people who've just decided to pack their lives up and sort of travel around and
cord cutters.
So she's kind of been she's sort of not really there by choice, but then sort of ends up, it's just basically, there's not a ton of plot. It's more of like a mood piece, and it sort of just follows her around sort of these kind of different areas that she ends up in and sort of trying to, yeah, like make these connections with people. And
oh, they call it a milk bar something different here.
That's what it's all what about.
Crazy
She's
experience.
Trying to visit all the states in America to work out what they call a milk bar.
Where
in
am
every
I supposed to get
country.
My food stuffs?
Yeah. Go to Rolf Voss. Bless you.
But
well,
it is,
what I know about this, so I haven't seen this movie. I know two things. Most of the cast apart from her are non-actors.
I did wonder that, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is the Amazon stuff.
Yes.
So tell us about the Amazon stuff.
I did mean to, yeah, I was wondering about a lot of the other people in it because they're all great, but they're very, like, not acting. Like, they're very naturalistic, and it did make me think, like, this seems too good to just be a, you know,
a fledgling,
like, someone who's just trying to have a crack at acting.
Does it come across in the way that, like, that was always something that worked in, like, Tim and Eric and stuff when they would get people who were not actors to be the other weird people so that their acting would come across a bit weird?
No,
it's probably not
so
that same
much.
Tone as weird.
It just comes across very naturalistic in the ways that they talk about being nomads or essentially being homeless or, like, their life theories that I just think wouldn't play as well if it was obviously being acted.
Is this the serious version of Bad Trip? All of the other actors aren't really actors. They're just sort of in it. And it's about an exodus from one place to another, going to another.
Yeah, by the way, did I?
An odyssey.
I don't think I said.
That's what I mean.
I tried to finish watching that film on the plane on the way to Perth. Yeah. And I got through the guy being, I got through Eric Andre being raped by a gorilla by the skin of my teeth, and I thought, well, thank God that's over. And then the very next scene is the two men having their dicks caught in a Chinese finger trap and extreme close-ups on the dicks, and I thought, I had a young child sitting next to me, and I thought, I'm not going to get away with this. I've got to put this one on ice. It probably is, the serious version of.
So it's just kind of stuff is happening, but the pranks are like she's got cancer or whatever.
Yes, basically, yeah.
I've heard it. It's described as like a documentary. Like it feels documentary-like.
It does, yeah. Right. And I think that having I think that the people who are non-actors working in the film really only works as a testament to how good Frances McDormand is, right? Because if she also doesn't seem very natural, then it would probably stick out more that these people just are sort of just talking, just having a chat about their lives or whatever. Mm. The Amazon stuff, so at the start of it, she is sort of still based in the town where she's been rendered homeless and working at an Amazon packing facility. Mm. And then she meets someone there who encourages her to sort of like take off. So she does that. And then I think it's basically meant to have been like she's sort of done this year cycle and then she's like back at Amazon because the Amazon stuff is like kind of contractual and short term. But yeah, I did find it strange that Amazon is just in there as Amazon, that they presumably have had to sign off on that and allow that to happen. Mm. And
Is it not a positive view of it?
It's not. It's pretty neutral, but it's I don't know. It is strange.
Right.
In itself is kind of weird, just with the way people talk about Amazon at the moment. To have Amazon be a big feature of your film and then not really have an opinion on it or whatever.
Featuring the fact that it's like, well, featuring a town that whose industry gets like decimated by, I assume, like external factors, some of which would be giant corporations.
Right.
And then like seasonal working and contract working being involved and not... Mm. A critical eye being
well, the fact
cast
that it's,
on it, right?
It's kind like, of her lifeline. Like she's she's at one point she's talking about how she's kind of just scraping by and she's like, oh, but I'll be doing Amazon again soon and then I'll have more money from that and then I'll all be okay. Like the fact that it's kind of like her like savior in the film when the impression that all the rest of us get from the outside of Amazon is that they are a terrible employer and that they're not paying people very fairly and all this stuff. So for it to be like, oh, yes, thank God I've got the Amazon work again and now I'm rolling in the Benjamins. It's like that's not really That's doesn't really seem to be the fact in reality.
Yeah, which is interesting then if everyone else, because I assume that the people who are non-actors are talking about their real lives. They're not just like talking about stuff that they've seen, you know, like they're relating their experiences, which would include working at Amazon.
Or Uber.
Or Uber, or something. Yeah. These gigs sort of stuff.
It's kind of more, the people that she meets don't really get into the nitty gritty of too much of how they ended up there. It's more just sort of like life philosophies and like why they enjoy it. There are a couple of things where people are like, my parents got really sick and they want it all like, oh no, there's one lady who talks about how like my husband got really sick and he just bought a boat and it sat in the driveway while he was sick and he never got to take it out of the driveway. And this is now, I just kind of figured like after he passed away, it's like, he said to me like, don't live like this. So it's like, yep, I'm taking the boat out of the driveway. This is me doing that.
Right.
It's sort of stuff like that. So they're like pretty much everyone that she meets isn't doing this out of like homelessness and from being displaced. It's an active decision that they've made of just like, why am I funneling money into a mortgage? Why am I tethered to the one spot? Yeah. I want to see the country. I want to see this beautiful world that we live in that most people don't see.
If I'm not paying rent, I can make a living working at Amazon.
Right.
So I love this shit.
But I really loved it.
I've been displaced. I decided to stay in this place.
I'm not allowed to leave this place to go for a pee. That's why I have a bottle next to me.
Getting kicked off of the set for like, fucking shut up, stop. Cut it out. You're meant to be naturalistic. Yes. Why are you making all these weird gags?
I just got
stuff?
A bunch of notes on my arm here. I just got to get through all these bits.
Nomadland. Imagine if there was a gnome ad land and it was all adverts for gnomes.
Yeah, nomad. I'm happy. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm happy land.
Oh,
whoa, Frankie.
Please escort Nomadland. This man off the set.
Not an Al Jaffe cartoon in sight. Nomadland.
Nomadal and what?
Nomadland, what me worry?
I would love
pool
to see
noodles and waving it around like a dick.
I would love to see the B-roll of all these people that didn't make the cut, because I reckon there's a few hours of people doing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's a good front-facing camera Twitter sketch.
Yes.
All the characters
jump on TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. Like, not hard to see why it won best pick. Frances McDormand won for best actress, and it won best picture, right?
I believe so. Best director. Yeah.
Not hard to see why. It is very Oscar baity, but like some of the scenery in it is beautiful. Mm. A lot of like kind of mid morning sunrise in the desert kind of shots. We've all got a good TV, so it looked great. I kind of did wish I was watching it on a cinema screen, because I think it'll look, the bigger you can watch it, don't watch it on a laptop screen, like if you've got a good telly or if you can get to the cinema. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And Frances McDormand, as you would expect, is fantastic in it. Really cool. Good film.
Well, speaking of Oscar bait, that's what I do when I see James Franco in that dress from the 2011 Oscars. I Oscar bait.
What a pull.
Yeah. That you're telling me. Hey, Frankie, good morning. You want some eggs? I watched, I forgot that I watched this, but I did watch Trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh, right.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, so Sacha Baron Cohen is one of the main characters of this, and he, I thought, stood out as not being particularly good in this film.
Interesting.
But he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Did he win? Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he did.
It's a true story, and you come into this movie with.
He was nominated for Best Supporting. Didn't win. Daniel Kaluuya from Judas.
Right.
By the way, there was a photo of him and Isla Fisher from their Zoom, whatever they were doing for the Oscars, their like Zoom thing. Mm. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter say, this photo has big, we're looking for a third energy. And I realized I've seen that so often about just photos. I think it's like every photo of every couple you can say that about.
Yeah, if they're both smiling.
Right.
It's like they're looking at you going like, ah. And then you go up to them and be like, okay. And they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
We're just having a nice time. Fucking hell.
It's more and more fun. Anytime I see that going around as a meme about a couple, it's like, this is just a photo of two people with their arms around each other looking at the camera.
You
like,
think Isla Fisher wants a third? It'd be a fifth. She's already in bed with Sacha Baron Cohen, Borat, Ali G, and Bruno.
All right. Okay. Wait, people posting on Twitter and not understanding facial expressions? I don't know if I can buy that.
Trial of the Chicago 7 is a true story.
Yeah, I listened to the Dollop about this.
Right.
About the guy that Sacha Baron Cohen plays. And I believe Dave Anthony did it specifically because he knew that the movie would not be a accurate representation of the story, right, what the people's actual beliefs were. Because apparently, like,
doesn't sound like Dave at all.
He got unnecessarily angry about something. But it was a great two-parter, like really in depth. So right. I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard the story.
So I've seen the movie, but I hadn't heard the story. Mm. So this is perfect. Well, with our powers combined.
I'm right in the middle. I knew neither.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Great. Well, Tommy, we'll try and get you to the point where you know everything.
Perfect.
So it's written and directed by fucking what's his name? Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
And even if it didn't have that in big letters right at the front, fuck, you'd know.
Right.
Because it's a lot of that type of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Mm.
You know, he is good at that sort of thing, especially when it's, you know, a heated, overdramatic, very elevated version of a mundane thing, like a trial. Right. This wasn't a mundane trial. This was a big... And the movie is about these seven people who... The police in the 60s kind of get to be fall guys, or essentially, for a big riot that happened because of some protests around the Vietnam War in 68, I think the protests were, and then the trial is in 69.
Right.
And there's Eddie Redmayne is sort of like, they go through and kind of introduce them all a bit at the start of like very quickly show down the bottom who they are. They're in pairs, most of them. And then there's one guy from the Black Panthers. He's like the head of the Black Panthers. And he's an eighth. There are actually eight people in the trial.
Right.
But
is that Bobby Seale?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he...
I listened to the podcast months ago, so I've forgotten a lot of it, but not that.
Prior to writing Bobby Kiss from a Rose, he was in this trial. And so his part of the trial is like that he doesn't end up being there still at the end of the trial because for him during this trial... I guess spoilers for this movie.
Right.
They declare a mistrial at some point because he gets beaten the fuck up during the trial by the police or the whatever, bailiffs.
The
or
bailiffs,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really assumes that you know what the story is going in, I found, because I was kind of lost about what was happening towards the start of the thing.
Sure,
right.
It seems as though it's got some...
I think at the time, certainly if you were probably like Sorkin's age, right?
You were...
Maybe a teenager around this point, or if you were an adult at this point, you knew who these people were. They were famous.
Yeah.
The main guy, what's his name? I can't remember the main guy's name.
Eddie Redmayne? The actual name
Sacha
of the
Baron
human being.
Eddie's Method Mayne.
It's
like Arthur.
Abbie Hoffman.
Abbie Hoffman was very well known. He was a known public speaker. He was very funny, sort of moved in comedy circles. Yeah. Like these people were all already very well known as like activists and agitators.
And I'm assuming if you lived in America,
right,
you would have more just knowledge that you've picked up over the years of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that if they made a movie in 50 years about like George Floyd and shit and Black Lives Matter protests from the last year, we would be able to go into them being like, oh yeah, I remember that and I know what that's about. You don't need to really, you know?
Yep.
So anyway, it's pretty well done in that like it's tracking this case over the thing and then kind of doing some flashbacks to the riots themselves and the sort of lead up to that. So as people are like police especially are giving testimony in court, it'll go back to the real events and do the thing of juxtaposing, you know, hey, I detained him peacefully, and then I'll have bashed someone against the hood of a car, you know. It's got a couple of really good sequences with that, where the music builds and like the interplay between what's happening in the present day and the flashback works really well together. Mm. There's a couple of real like exciting sequences that I thought were great with that. And by that point, I kind of put together what was happening a lot more. So I don't know if it's meant to be that it's like a detective thing where you figure it out as you go on, or if it comes in with some assumed knowledge. But it's pretty... by the numbers, kind of, especially if you've seen a bunch of Aaron Sorkin stuff, you know how this goes out. There's an inspiring bit at the end. There's a lot of back and forths of quick jibey, you know, like, I'll get you for this. No, I'll get you for this. There's a very...
You'll pay for that.
I can do Aaron Sorkin dialogue in my fucking sleep. But looking it up afterwards...
Right.
I thought that it was a relatively, you know, Hollywood Aaron Sorkinized version of this thing, but a relatively representative one.
Oh, good.
Abby Hoffman comes across as interesting as he seems like he was in real life.
Right, right.
I don't know if Sacha Baron Cohen's portrayal of him is that, because it's like a comedic guy who he's like, he's, so him and Eddie Redmayne are the ones who have the big sort of clashes within the group. There's like a very interesting lawyer guy who's their main lawyer. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays like the prosecution lawyer mm-hmm. for the state. And he's got an interesting, like, you know, very conservative guy, but with clearly a set of morals that doesn't always necessarily align with what he's got to do.
Yeah, right.
So there's some conflict there for him. And then Eddie Redmayne is like a straight-laced, hey, we got to make change from the inside. Yes, I'm an activist, but put on a suit, you know, that type of guy. And then Abby Hoffman is a lot more radical and he's a lot more out there, man. He's very 60s hippie, kind of trying to get media attention because he wants cultural change. And the only way to do that is with cameras on you. So he's like, yeah, of course I'm over the fucking top because I want them to point the camera at me.
Yeah.
And Eddie Redmayne is a lot more, fuck your cultural revolution. We want a real revolution with politics. And he's like, what do you think that actually is, dumbass?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they fight over that and that's pretty interesting. But it all just sort of like... It ends up being kind of a good movie, but nothing like, other than a couple of sequences, nothing that you wouldn't expect completely out of a movie if they were like, this is about a real trial that happened back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. You can kind of guess what you're going to see with this movie, which is nice in a way because it's like,
right,
gives you what you want,
yep,
but it's not super... transcendental or whatever. When it's you know, when it's an Oscar nominated movie, you're like, oh, I wonder if this is the one where it's like, holy shit, they found a new way to do this thing.
Not really. It's
It is a good one of this type of movie, which is a historical courtroom drama.
I think when I saw it was like a Netflix movie, I lowered my expectations.
Right.
I think I changed what I thought it would be from an amazing, groundbreaking, like. And it does sound like it's very high energy and very entertaining. But
and it moves in the way that an Aaron Sorkin thing tends to. It's very pacey.
I think...
I still have a thing in my head about Sorkin, like, maybe. Seeing that it's a Netflix thing, which I've got to get over because it's not... It's they're a distributor. Like, they're not... I still have in my head that it's like, this is going to be some, like, kind of low-rent thing. Like, it's just been made for this, but it's sort of not... Yeah, it's sort of not so much the case.
Until now, I didn't know that it was, like, produced for Netflix. I assumed that Netflix was the Australian distributor thing, which happens often here, that, like, you get a Netflix-branded movie that actually came out in cinemas and was a, you know, regular movie.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure, this was, like, it's... Netflix makes sense the producer.
But this still did, like all of those Netflix films, it did still come out in cinemas, I think, at least in the States.
I think so,
Something about this movie, though, that is cool is that even though, you know, it's set in a case that's, 50 years old at this point, more than, and is it 60 years ago? No, that'll be in 8 more years.
Yeah.
It's 50 something.
It's 50 years since the Yumbo came out. Hungry Jacks. That's what you're thinking of.
That is what I'm thinking of. As always, I was thinking about the $3 Yumbo, now available at Hungry Jacks. It is very relevant to today still.
Yeah, yeah.
It is protesters being treated with violence and as though they are criminals by default. And it is touching on a lot of the same things where, like, it's about the Vietnam War, but obviously race gets brought into it because the Black Panthers are involved in this protest and one of them is in the trial. And, like, the scenes with him getting... because his lawyer isn't there at the start and he keeps moving from his trial. And this judge, who later on at the end, it brings up, like, those things saying, like, here's what happens to all these people. Abby Hoffman killed himself and, you know, he wrote Steal This Book, which I'd heard of.
He apparently... Abby Hoffman was, like, the super principled one. Like, he was the entertainer and he was over the top, but he stuck so strictly to his principles that sometimes that led to issues, but it's like, well, you have to respect that. 100%. By the time that he died, it sounds like even he had sort of watered himself down, which is a shame.
And it seems as though he was under the impression that everything he was fighting for wasn't going to happen. And he, like, the 80s ultra-conservative splashback of the 60s stuff really put him in a spiral.
Yeah, right.
Which you can see he was right about.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to kill himself.
But,
because, you know, hang around.
Sure, if you're one of the people who still has those principles... But yeah, the world got worse.
It 100%
did. It just got worse.
And so that's the most interesting part of this movie is how much it doesn't directly go, you know, hey, it's comparing itself to today. It's staying completely in the moment, but it's all still the same stuff.
Yeah.
I reckon that's, probably a big part of the reason why it got up. It's the sort of project that you can imagine probably sat on a shelf for 10, 15 years or something. And then it's like there's so many parallels to the last like couple of years especially that it's like, all right, well, this is really going to resonate now. So.
Right. The people who are in the wrong getting off, you know, the people who are in the right being treated like these scapegoats. This judge who is the judge for the whole case. That was the thing at the end that says, like, later on in a peer review thing, something like 86% of judges said that he was not fit for this trial and that he should have not ever been near it and blah, blah, blah.
Love a big fuck you in the here's where they are now at the end, especially when you see it in the cinema and you hear everyone in the room go, oh, always good.
Yeah.
Responding to a block of text more than anything that's happened in the actual film.
Oh.
So I enjoyed this movie. Maybe I'll watch it. A well done thing if you go in with the expectation of like, this is like a guy who's worked in old fashioned TV for a lot of his life.
Right.
Yep,
making a courtroom drama for Netflix. It's a pretty good thing of that.
A movie that I went into with, I guess, very low expectations and came out enjoying was a little movie called Nobody, starring the great Robert Odenkirk.
Yeah, the dad from Little Women. Famously, the dad from Little Women.
I watched this movie too.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't interested in it. And then I saw the poster, which is a fantastic poster.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Him just getting a real fucking big punch to the face.
Yeah.
Great looking poster.
By like, isn't he like surrounded by fists?
Fists everywhere, but one of them's really fucking connecting in a way where I was like, how'd they do that?
Which is the same, so this is like produced by some of the same people as John Wick or directed by?
I don't know.
There's a lot of guns around John Wick.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like basically the same concept.
I mean, if it isn't the same people, it is the same movie.
Yes, it is.
It's something comes up in the trail that's like, I can't remember whether it's, you know, sometimes it's like from one of the guys that brought you John Wick, but it definitely, the trailer references John Wick in some form. Okay. So I don't know if it's,
This is like this is 100%. This is the, what's that Hungry Jack's Big Mac called? Just because we were talking about Hungry Jack's. The Big Jack.
The Big Yumbo.
This is the Big Yumbo of the McDonald's Big Mac that is John Wick.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
You know? What did you reckon?
I really enjoyed it. It starts really strong. It's really, I think, well edited and well directed.
Yeah,
like
I agree
very,
with that.
Very pacey and interesting.
90 minutes, nice and tight.
Oh yes,
you love it.
I think just Bob Odenkirk has me. You know, like I'm happy to watch this guy in pretty much anything.
He's perfect casting for this as well.
Yeah,
because he's like a guy who's like an everyday boring guy. They very much play that up at the start.
Mm. And kind of Shaun of the Dead style, that opening montage, quick cutting of like, you know, missing the bins every day, walking to work or getting the bus to work, all that kind of thing.
Same coffee plunger, same thing, like same jog every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And just like really seems dreary and unhappy.
Yep.
His wife being like, you forgot to put the bins out. Them sleeping with pillows in between him and shit. A nightmare. But then as the movie goes on, you start to find out that maybe this guy's got a bit of a past.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not nobody after all.
And it's less fantastical than John Wick.
Yeah.
Well, in some aspects.
In the in-world justification of it, there's not like a crazy cabal of secret assassins.
No.
But he is kind of just as scary of a figure to people who know who he is.
That's true. And there's some like mysterious workers, cohorts, and like Christopher Lloyd plays his dad.
Wow.
And there's sort of references early on to like them being in the same business or something, same line of work.
Yeah.
And that sort of coming around. And it starts off very grounded and very good. Although I think everyone in the cast, aside from Bob Odenkirk, is like at best fine.
I'm stunned by that comment. Yeah, they're pretty forgettable.
Yeah,
you know,
which is understandable because this seems like I don't really know the story behind it, but it doesn't seem like it was like a great script that it's like, oh yeah, Bob Odenkirk's auditioned and he's the guy for the role. It seems like it's reverse engineered. Like, you know what? People love Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
They love him in Better Call Saul. What would happen if we chucked him in an action movie? What would happen if we had Bob Odenkirk? It seems more like it's all built around having him do a thing like this rather than like...
having a guy like him at least.
Sure.
Like,
I wouldn't be surprised if his agent was like, hey, you know what would be a great turn for your career now? Do action movies.
Right.
You pump them out, you know, a couple every year, Liam Neeson style.
Yeah.
And you're a good actor, so why don't we find a script that works?
Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul's about to wrap up. There's you're never going to be like more in people's heads than right now.
You're hitting 60-something. It's time to be an action star.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's good. He's just had, like, we were talking about him off air, like, just the best career. Like, just the absolute, like...
pretty good.
And kind of looking at the trailers for this, because I saw this kind of start being advertised a couple of months ago, and I haven't seen it yet. I was enticed by the concept and the idea of it and loving Bob Odenkirk, but he hasn't really made... any or many missteps in his career and sort of looking at it going, this one could go either way. Mm. This could be the big Odenkirk clunker where like they've tried to make something happen that doesn't quite fit. And it seems like it's really good, but...
I don't think I liked it quite as much as you. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
It definitely like is not bad.
Yeah.
It is a decent kind of action movie. It does feel very been there, done that.
I liked it as much as I've liked the John Wick movies, which is 6.5 out of 10. On the right day with a couple of beers, that's an 8 out of 10.
Exactly. This is that movie where like if you get just sour enough gummy worms, you're fucking loving this movie.
Yep.
But because John Wick exists, that took a little of the punch out of the concept for me because it is pretty much the same idea of
it's
like
very, very. It's weird that is now a formula. It's very formulaic. Yeah.
Olden days badass used to be the fucking most dangerous person in the world, has to come back into the game.
Yeah,
and there's an extra little interesting spin here because John Wick is always opposed to it, but Bob Odenkirk's character in this movie kind of wants to.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? It's like there's an incident that could. In a John Wick movie would be like, oh, that's a clear-cut thing where he has to get revenge.
Yeah.
Where in this it's like, okay, he's not fully gone for it there and has been thinking about it every day since.
Yeah.
And it's like a guy, who was basically really good at this thing that he used to do, which was being a badass, and has settled down and is like, I'm a badass. Yeah. I need to do badass shit.
Because
he starts doing it again.
The instigating thing isn't even the thing that it ends up being about.
Yeah.
He kind of goes halfway and then he's like, oh, no, this is wrong. And then it's something else because he's all charged up with that energy.
Yeah.
He kind of causes a fucking problem. Like
totally,
these guys do, and he intervenes for a good reason.
Mm.
But also he is looking for a fight.
Absolutely.
Because
he's
being belittled at work at the start. His wife's family don't respect him. They think he's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's still in it kind of in his head. So yeah, that bit is interesting, and watching him it's a suburban dad recapturing his fucking machismo or whatever.
Right, it's like the ultimate like late midlife crisis movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
This is him buying a motorbike, but then everyone goes, "Fuck, that's a cool motorbike."
Yeah. Yeah, he does a backflip on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is fun. The action choreography and stuff, I think, is fine.
Right.
That's the biggest problem I have with this movie, is that it's not amazing.
Yeah.
But it is kind of the backbone of the movie. But it's good.
It has enough set pieces. I feel like the bus thing is very cool.
Yeah.
It's not as over the top as John Wick.
No.
But
it kind of it's a weird line because it's not completely grounded. The action especially is like he gets a lot of injuries that later on he's walking fine.
That's
whatever,
true, and he kills like 100 people probably by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Like it's a good
3.5 stars.
Like I said, a couple of beers, you'll have a good evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the action version of Trial of the Chicago 7.
It's the drama. Like, yeah. It doesn't quite hit the heights that you might hope for. But
yeah. If you watch this on the right night, you're going to be like, Nobody is my favorite action movie of the year.
Yeah.
If you watch it on the wrong night, you'll forget that you watch Nobody until you're going to do a podcast where someone else watched Nobody.
Yes.
But yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we wrap it up? Is that us
done
for the week?
I've got one more thing.
Yeah.
Mm?
I watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
I watched it when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I, until now, thought I hated it. But now I realize I was wrong. And I was too young to properly get it.
Yeah.
And it is a fantastic movie.
I don't know why I liked it so much when I did see it at like 16.
16's the couple of important years there that you need, probably.
100. Maybe. I saw maybe it around then, too, when it was first in cinemas.
Yeah.
Fresh off a breakup from my, like, first, like, teen girlfriend.
Right.
So, like, really right in the hitting zone of, like, yeah, I'm more depressed than I ever thought possible. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of this and just it resonating with me so hard. And I've watched it maybe 3 or 4 times since, and it is one of those great films where it's like every time you come back to it, you see it, you watch it in a completely different way. It's like a different movie because
it's like you forget about it in between and you watch it again and you're like, what? I feel like I've seen this movie but I've never seen it before.
The cinematography is fucking awesome.
Yes.
It just is a great looking movie with really, really clever like practical physical effects in it that are really nice. The story is there's stuff to the story, like Elijah Wood's character, who, you know, when I was 14, I didn't quite get what a fucking awful, you know what I mean?
Manipulative.
And how real that is.
Yeah, yes.
And then, like, yeah, my experience with breakups is there was one guy at school I didn't like who was depressed about one, and I was like,
right, that's great. You know, so, that is a great read of the film. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, who cares? Just fucking deal with your problems.
Yeah, just put the mask on and get over it.
Starting to feel depressed myself, so fuck off. Just jack off. You know, that's the coolest thing I can do.
The Kaufman Gondry combo.
Yes.
Damn. Yeah. Would kill for another one of them.
Yeah, so I watched it with my girlfriend, and so it was like I was watching it for the first time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't seen John Malkovich, being John Malkovich.
Right.
So we're going to do that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am officially renounce my Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind as a bad movie, and I am now, my best friend is now Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is a good movie.
Great soundtrack and score too.
Yep.
Yeah. Michel Gondry never really hit it as hard as he hit it with that movie, right? Because,
well, I think same, kind of the same with Kaufman too, right? Like they really are such a good pairing because
I reckon adaptation and being John Malkovich, I reckon I like more.
But they're both
Spike
both
Jones.
Before it
they're both before
as well.
Oh right,
yeah.
Both of them were before it.
99 and 2002 or something like that.
Yeah right.
Yeah.
I like them more, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay, right.
Terms of a Kaufman.
Right.
But then Kaufman since, like, Anomalisa was good.
I loved Anomalisa.
But it's just like, I think Gondry's, like, great, like, visual stuff needs, like, a very, like, emotional kind of backbone. And stuff that he's done since that's just been by himself has never quite
grabbed
me
that,
as much. Because he just when it's just all that visual stuff, it goes a bit too off the deep end without, like, a core to it. And
what about the Green Hornet?
I actually didn't mind that.
Be Kind, Rewind.
Did not like that.
No.
I remember not liking it. I would like to rewatch it though. But yeah, I think that the two of them as a combo together, and I remember that film getting such a great rap at the time.
Yeah.
Thinking like, oh, this is going to be one of those things where they're now just like a dream team that do shit together forever. And I think this is the only... Yeah, that's the only one they ever did together, right?
Human Nature is the other one from 2001, which
Human
I've
Nature
never
was pretty
never
bad
seen
from
that.
Memory.
Yeah, right.
But maybe they're not good together. Maybe they got lucky.
They got lucky. They got. I mean, Kate Winslet, Jim Carrey are like perfect.
Kate Winslet is an amazing fucking actor. Yeah. She is so fucking good at doing accents.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah,
I want to watch that new show.
Yes, I keep seeing ads for that.
What's
too.
It called? Fucking
The Age of Foot. Ball.
That's it. That's that.
It's on HBO, right? I forget what it is.
Yeah. Like, have you been paying attention?
Yeah, that's it.
I think it's doing
a run on Have You Been Paying Attention?
Yeah, and dramatic Jim Carrey too, which this film just exists in isolation as these like the combo of Gondry and Kaufman with John Brion doing the score and Carrey doing dramatic stuff. It's like all this stuff that doesn't all these separate elements that are so good to get, like, separately.
That, the doctor, what's his name? The English guy?
Yeah. I forget his name, but he's good.
He's great.
Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yes.
What's her name? Kirsten Dunst.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Wood.
Yep.
That's the cast.
That's it.
You got all the cast listed
We did
there
the writer,
you.
The director, the score and the cast.
Yep.
Oh, what are we? The fucking Wikipedia over here.
All right, let's
We're fucking Wikipedia over here.
Jim Carrey really made me carry about this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. G'day, Frankie. Oh, hey, welcome back outside of your little caravan there. Fuck it.
I watched Jim Carrey on the Norm Macdonald show.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Carrey's just so weird.
He's a weird dude.
He's become more weird as well.
Yeah. Mm. Happens to all of us. Yeah. You should get weirder, dude. Life's a freaky place.
That's it.
That's the moral of this book.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
And we'll see you next Monday.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.